Welcome to Burning Out in Hell.
Okay, I've manifested this moment for a long time. The second I saw her on my TV, I was like, I meant to meet this woman and I meant to talk serious shit in the dark depths of hell, because she's been there and back and there again and back. I'm Rose Hannah Burner with fashion designer, TV personality, and author of Chaos Theory, Leah McSweeney. Welcome.
Thank you for that intro. That was beautiful.
I worked really hard on it.
And I have been to hell. Back again and back down to hell.
I feel like you're the kind of girl that I'd meet at a bar and we don't small talk and I'd be like, what did your psychic say? Why is it happening?
And actually my psychiatrist is my psychic, which is bizarre.
I'm obsessed with this. I also love that as a New York housewife, you're actually from New York.
Yeah.
And you really brought some elements to the show. Like, you were pushing the downtown vibe and I was like, thank you. Rich people and successful people are not only on the Upper East Side.
Oh my God. And I mean, obviously, like, I definitely like went on the show like having so much less money than all of them. But at the same time, I feel like downtown is more expensive than uptown. Like right now, I could get a bigger apartment on the Upper East Side for less than what I'm paying for my apartment now.
Did you become more materialistic being on The Real Housewives? Because you have to like become conscious of... No.
No, I still don't. I don't buy myself expensive bags. I used to be much more materialistic when I was younger.
Oh.
I was like, I would buy...
stupid
everything.
Shit.
Yes, like Goyard bags and Louis Vuitton and everything. I don't do that.
I'm on this like fake Prada. I'm wearing a fake Prada necklace right now.
It looks great.
My Prada, thank you. Because I lose and break everything. So
it's like, why buy the real thing?
Exactly.
I know, but the real thing's not supposed to break.
True, but I will lose it.
Yeah.
Because I'm chaotic.
Yeah.
Speaking of chaotic. Do you know my nickname's Hurricane Hannah?
Shut the fuck up.
So when I was reading your book, I was like, oh my God, the chaos. Can you explain chaos theory?
Yeah. So the actual chaos theory, like the scientific version of it, is like that, you know, within disorder, there's order. I mean, that's like the very short version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just applied all of those logics to my life. And I was like, oh, this works. Like, this makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like that is life in general, though. And you talked about trying to control it. Where are you right now in terms of controlling the chaos?
That's a good question.
Where is
it? I also think there's a spiritual element to chaos theory.
For sure.
You know, like the actual scientific version. Because honestly, like there's so much God like in science. Because there's so many things that like don't really... If you can keep saying, but how did that happen? And how did that happen? Like, so it's like, where did it all happen? But where am I now? You know what? I had a rough January, February, like really hit a depression that I have not been in a very long time. I have not talked about it publicly. Like, I'm just opening up about it right now to you because I want to be honest and no one's asked me this question. I really didn't think I was going to make it on the book tour. Like, I was like, I wrote a book about mental health and I'm really suffering right now. Like, how am I going to do this? I've pulled out of that, thank God, with a lot of medication and therapy and a hospital stay for a week. And it again, it's always actually a blessing. I try to look at things through that lens, because how the fuck else are you supposed to look at it? And like, you know what? I wasn't feeding my soul with nourishing things. I was paying attention to negativity. I was paying too much attention to how I looked and not how I felt. I was paying attention to bullshit. You know, I wasn't in therapy. I wasn't being like that spiritual.
Oh, you were being wild.
I was being wild. Yeah.
I was like, honey, no therapy.
Yeah, I know.
I want to actually read a quick excerpt from your book.
Okay.
Well, for people to know the vibe of the book, this is one of my favorite early quotes on page 5. You've got to hold on to your sanity like it's a billionaire with a 9-inch dick. To advocate for yourself, do what needs to be done, and never let go. Holy shit.
I had to take my own advice.
Holy shit. Yeah. Brene Brown of of being a hoe. Like, that is incredible.
Thank you.
But I also feel like sane people don't do incredible, creative, beautiful, out-of-the-box things.
That's true. And also, I was talking to my friend like this morning and I was like, what's like like me and my brother and sister all have like depression issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I think it's just intelligent people. I'm like, oh, that's nice of you to say. You know what I mean? That's really nice of you. I think it's just like,
ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss. And like sensitive, like very often like sensitive, creative, intuitive people. Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything like that. Just mm-hmm. whatever, because it's not good and it's not bad. Do tend to have depression issues, or maybe people with depression issues tend to be creative and, I mean, you know, and sensitive.
Well, even bipolar disorder, which Ramona told us about.
Ramona outed me for having bipolar too, which I still have like issues with that diagnosis, because I feel like people, like, if you look at the character, like personality traits or like behaviors, it's also people who don't have good coping skills, because it's like hypersexuality, shopping, like crazy spending money. Those are also like things that like addicts do once they give up drugs and alcohol.
It's also kind of intertwined of just like almost being just like neurodivergent.
I know. Wait, this is a whole new thing, neurodivergent.
I know. It's like on TikTok I learned about it.
I know. I'm like, what? Like, this is a new...
I don't know what like neurotypical looks like, but me and you are similar in that like I deal with depression, I deal with anxiety, like very, very sensitive, but also very not sensitive in a way. But I feel everything. I feel everyone's emotions. I need to be at home alone for like an extended period of time. When I'm out, like I'm out. Same. Like I'm life of the party. Yep. So I feel very connected to you. I also feel like we had a kind of a similar experience with our beginnings of reality TV, where we both were kind of built up a lot.
And then worn down.
Literally destroyed.
Yeah, destroyed.
And as two people who obviously we want control of our life.
Yeah.
How did it affect your mental health being in something that you have zero control over? And when I tell you you have zero control, like you really have no control.
Right. I like to do things that do take me out of my comfort zone.
Same.
Right. I like to take risks. I like to do things that
makes you feel alive.
Yes, exactly. They make me uncomfortable and that I can't predict, you know, and things like that. Even though it's always kind of predictable at the same time. So, you know what? I think like doing the show has like opened so many doors for me. It's like been an amazing thing, while also it's come with like its huge pile of issues that I have to work really hard at, like not internalizing the things I see written about myself. Yes. I have to work hard to not hold resentments against people who have fucked with me or whatever, like on the show and off the show and on social media, or a writer that wrote something horrible about me and I had to see on my birthday, or like just so much toxicity. Ugh. And if I let it like fester inside me, I'm only gonna be miserable. They say like being resentful is like hating someone and drinking your poison to hurt them or something like that.
Yes, that's you're poisoning yourself as if it's gonna hurt them.
Exactly. So
I feel like I'm in the same place where the universe was like, okay, you want to level up? Let's do some crazy lessons where like I'm Sicilian. Like I remember everything anyone's ever done to me. Oh, I'm a loyal ass bitch. Yep. And like, if you cross me once, I'm like, I can't trust you. Yep. And I remember everything and I feel everything. I take things personally because that's how I would treat people. Mm-hmm. You can't live that way in reality TV. Like you have to be political and be like, okay, well for my career, I need a smile and move forward. Yes. And I don't play that game.
Yeah.
I never had.
And also
had.
You have to also turn off a piece of yourself.
Yeah.
Which I think takes years of doing, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do that.
What piece of yourself?
Probably the frontal lobe piece. Because let's be honest here, not everyone's playing with a full deck, you know? No, but like, look, like, obviously, like, I see, like, Ramona and Luann and, like, how they deal with it. Like, they don't even let shit, they, like, let shit roll off their fucking back. They don't think about the shit. They don't care. They don't give a fuck. They're, like, all about their business. And I kind of love it, you know? And I want to be like that.
Luann gave me some wild advice once.
What'd she say?
Because I was like, Luann, I'm in a situation where, like, people think I did things that like didn't happen and it's not how it happened. Mm-hmm. And everyone's saying I'm not holding accountability, but like that's not how the situation really happened. And she was like, no, you have to just own up to it. You just have to go with that. You have to just own it and go with it. And then everyone will leave you alone. But if you keep fighting it, people are going to just like, you're going to look like the crazy one.
Isn't that insane? And it's go with the lie.
Every cell in my body was like, and but like reality TV, I think I went into it, I think in a similar way that you did, where I was like, I want to show that women are more than like one dimensional. Because someone once told me like, they're going to cast you, like you're the hot one, you're the messy one, you're the weak one, you're the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. And you can change characters real quick depending on how they feel about you. And I wanted to show that women could be like bosses, but also depressed and like, you know, loud, but also smart. No.
How it goes.
But I do think that you were able to capture that in a way that a housewife hasn't ever done that before.
Thank you so much. I also think that like the viewers, it's hard for them to see multi-dimensional women also on there. Like we're very much shrunken down by them and like objectified and made into characters for like people's entertainment. And you kind of have to be okay with that.
What's wild for me is how people can think you changed so much in a season.
It's like I was literally the same fucking person. Like, I'm still the same person. Like, what? Like,
it's wild to me that people be like, I used to love her and now I don't. And you're like, it's been 6 months.
As if I'm like, it's weird to be talked about. Like, and also when people leave Instagram comments on my Instagram and talk in third person about me, you're literally on my page.
I can hear you.
I've had to obviously be like, okay, my Instagram is literally just work. It's business. I don't put pictures of my kid up. I don't put pictures of my family up really. Like, it's just business. Like, it's a little sad. I need to get a Finsta.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you care about what people think?
I'm more concerned. I do care, but I'm much more concerned with making myself happy. Like, I'm not a people pleaser, you know? Like, I'm very self-absorbed in a lot of ways. Like, this is my fucking life. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
I'm also obsessed with the fact that you created this brand. And can you explain Married to the Mob of, like, what it means to you now?
So Married to the Mob is my streetwear brand that I started in 2004. I think that also it was like a weird like juxtaposition with Roni too. Like, I mean, obviously when you saw the women come to my like 15-year anniversary party, it was like, what's happening? but like the brand, like, you know, I mean, like I write in the book, I literally went from being like a teenage delinquent to having a brand that got very successful within a couple years. And,
you got an investment because you got money, right? Bad incident. Right,
my police brutality case, which like I was beat up by the cops and it was terrible. I sued them. I won $75,000. I did buy 2 Goyard bags at Barney's. But then I returned one of them because I thought, okay, you're being like, I bought like an overnight bag, like a duffel bag in maroon. And I bought like one of the Fiji hobo bags in black. So I returned the duffel bag because I was like, you're ODing, Leah. Be
but
smart.
That is chaos theory.
That's
in
chaos
itself.
Chaos theory. Like I knew like right where I was like, we're going to Barney's. We're doing that. And I used the rest of the money to not only invest into my company, but to live off of and quit my job at the time.
Yeah.
And that gave me, like, you know, access to being able to do Mob full time. And then I did, you know, the brand was doubling every year in profit and doing just so well. Like, I got to work with Cause and Nike and Barbie and, like, Kangol and Reebok. And, I mean, the list goes on, at Colette and Paris. And I've gotten to travel to amazing places. And if I didn't have Mob, I'd have nothing.
So you hate having a boss?
I think I do.
Same?
Yeah.
Do you like Andy as a boss?
You know what? I love Andy.
Same.
I really do. He's great. I mean, I don't even know how he deals with all of us.
He doesn't.
How does he? But he has to. Like, imagine how many calls he gets. He's dealing with the most insane women in the U.S. What? And in Dubai now.
Yes.
Like, pick the craziest bitches that, like, think the world revolves around them. Like, and Andy has to deal with their phone calls every day.
If someone was about to be plucked from obscurity to become a housewife, what advice would you give them?
You know, just have a good therapist. Like, get a lobotomy. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, turn the frontal lobe off. Like, no, but like, you have to be, the hardest part is dealing with so many people caring about what you say and how you act mm-hmm. and be ready to be scrutinized and like just talked about on Facebook things mm-hmm. and fucking blogs and podcasts.
Do you read them?
Oh, no. Oh, thank God. I don't even, I honestly tried. It's sad because I want to go in my comments and respond to like,
yes.
people that I know and like friends and whatever, but I just don't even do it anymore because I just don't.
I had to give my phone away for 3 weeks for someone to just manage my phone.
Damn, I'm sorry, babe.
No, it's okay.
No, it's a lot.
It's a fun story to tell, though.
It's a lot.
It's because also you know yourself. It's like a drug. I talked to my therapist about it where it's like, sometimes you get cocky because people start being nice and then you start looking into it.
Because you're like, never mind, they're not being like, nice. Yeah.
And because you're like, oh, if I just have one drink, it'll be fine.
Right.
And then next thing you know, you're blackout.
Exactly.
Having fun. Also, when did you were a crazy teen.
Yeah.
Now you have a daughter.
Oh, yeah.
How does it feel to be a mom and watching like a piece of you now be in that age?
I'm so proud of her.
Aww.
Because she's such a good fucking kid. And I don't mean good, like, I mean, she is on the honor roll, just saying. And mm-hmm. she does care about her grades. But it's not like I'm like, she's like a, you know, like playing an instrument and learning three languages. And, you know, it's not like that. She's happy. She's well-adjusted. She has great friends that she hangs out with all the time. Like, they're hilarious. They mm-hmm. harass people on the street. Like, they do dumb shit that I used to do.
A little New York City shit.
Exactly. But, like, they're not, like, smoking crystal meth. You know yes. what I mean? Like, she's having a normal teenage, like,
life. And New York City children, we joke, like, you try acid by 11 years old.
Yeah, well, I've told her not to do that. She better not be. I mean, I know that, like, kids her age and that she knows are, like, trying mushrooms and shit. But, like, has not done that. But, you know, like, she asked me, like, if she can, like, drink. Like, I have to be careful what I say. And I was like, you know, Kier, like, what if you get alcohol poisoning? What if mm-hmm. you don't know when to stop? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to say to her because she's 15. She's going to do it regardless. Mm-hmm. She's asking for my permission. What the fuck do I do? I really don't know what to do. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even want to know, but I do want
to
know.
But it's amazing she's so comfortable with you to speak to you like that big sister almost.
She is.
But instead of her hiding and like doing sketchy shit and being scared of
like
you.
Doing like, you know, yeah, it's pretty cool. We have a great relationship. Like,
did you want to be a mom?
Oh, yeah. Ever since I was a little girl.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, Kylie.
Wait, is that what she said?
Yeah, she's always like, I've always wanted to be a mom.
Oh, yeah, I really did. Like, I was always scared. Like, how am I going to push a baby out of my vagina?
Yeah.
But then I got older and my vagina got bigger.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't scared anymore.
Yeah.
Because no,
I was envisioning.
I was still fucking scared shit.
You're like, just to say my vagina's still tiny.
Yeah,
however.
That's what I'm saying, okay?
Because I was envisioning you living this wild life and then you get pregnant.
Well, that did happen for yes. sure. But also, like, ever since I was a little girl, I was like, I'm going to be a mom. So it wasn't as like, what the fuck? You know, I was definitely like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. But Rob was very supportive. And mm-hmm. like, obviously, if I had a guy who was like, yeah, we definitely can't do this shit, then I'd probably be like, well, I guess you're right. But he was really supportive. And
Rob was great. And the fact that he, from a production standpoint, like, was down to film with you. Like, the amount of, like, straight dudes that would be down to film.
You know what? He's so supportive. And he loves, you know, he thinks it's great.
Are you dating?
No.
Are you being like, I'm specifically not dating?
I mean, I'm not like, I'm just not on apps. I'm not like, I don't go out. I work. Mm-hmm. Like, if I go out, it's like for work.
Do you want to meet someone?
Not really right now.
Good. We're decentering men from our lives. Even though I just got married.
You did just get married.
We're decentering men from our lives. We don't
maybe
meet
he has
him.
Maybe he has some friends for me. But you're like an inspiration in a lot of ways. You're like a love inspiration.
Oh my God.
Because I feel like me and you were similar in being like, fuck men. And then you're like getting married.
It's literally it's so really bad off. For my brand. I don't even want to talk about it. My stand up is like, it's not good.
No, but now you have so much more new content.
I do.
Right? Like
I've been
married life content.
Yeah.
And that's a whole new demo.
Yes, yes. I actually was never a girl who, I think I always wanted to be a mom, but I never dreamed of getting married. Did you ever dream of like a wedding and marriage?
I definitely, for a while, was like really like with Rob, like, when the fuck are you proposing to me?
Yeah.
And, like, one of the reasons like I dumped him or broke up with him, whatever, is because he never proposed.
But it's like now he basically has been your partner for
life. Yeah, I know. I know. Well, he's dating someone now.
How is it?
It's fairly new, but there's definitely like boundaries he's putting up that are new for me, which is weird. But like, we had a talk, all of us, like me, him, and Kier, and You know, I'm happy for him.
You want him to be happy.
No, I want him to be happy. Like, I hope this girl works out. I hope I get to meet her at some point.
Also, I feel like I'm projecting on you, but I feel like the door needs to be, like, so closed on him for any other doors to open.
I know.
And, like, even, like, his door even a little open, it affects the energy of other things.
Yeah, so maybe this will help me.
Yeah.
Even though I really don't, I don't know. I've only had sex once in 12 months.
Oh, that's just
isn't that crazy?
Was it good?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. But yeah.
You can't really date on the apps anymore.
No, I had one person write, wow, you're on this? I guess there's really no hope. I was like, awesome. Thank you.
It is like, yeah, finding groups of friends and stuff. But Rob, he's older than you, right?
He's 12 years older.
My guy's 15.
Oh, wow.
We love a zaddy.
We do. But now, but once you get close to 40, you don't anymore. Because now they're like 60 and you're like, your skin is like feeling soft and mushy and I'm not into that. And I need like a 25-year-old.
Yeah, my man is 46.
Yeah.
Oh, that's young cool. heart.
Yeah, he's young though. 46.
And I, yeah, because I'm like grossed out by guys in their 20s now, but I think there'll be a time where.
There'll be a time, trust me.
I'm in that weird place though where I'm attracted to like the guys in their 40s and their sons in their 20s.
Yeah.
You probably too. I mean,
yeah, that'd be great.
Double whammy.
That's great. No, that sounds awesome. I don't meet the guys in their 40s that I meet. Like, this is my theory.
Yeah.
Doesn't apply to women, it applies only to men. If you are a man in your 40s and you haven't been married yet and you're not divorced and you don't have any kids, then you do not want commitments. Because you would have done that by 40. There's plenty of women out here. There's not a lot of dudes. So if you're a woman in your 40s and you haven't had a kid, that doesn't mean anything on you. That just means all these dudes are pieces of shit.
Yes. I agree. I love a divorced man. I think a divorced man has like been shook by like a relationship not working, probably has had to do some therapy and like more knowledgeable about stuff. Maybe there's some baggage, but like I love an older divorced man than just like a confused guy in their 20s.
Look, I honestly don't know what will work. I mean, I want someone who has kids, but at the same time, I don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like having a guy.
You're like, I don't want to deal with their little shits.
I don't. But and like an ex, like a baby mom or ex-wife, like who's probably psycho, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But maybe she's cool. I don't know.
Whatever. We'll see it on the next season.
I was just like reading like Steven Tyler. He's like 70 something. He's married to and he it was in the news. He relapsed and he's like back in rehab.
Oh, I saw that.
So like prayers up to him. Mm-hmm. Like, but he's married to his personal assistant who's like 35. He's like 70. I mean, it's Steven Tyler, though.
He's Steven Tyler. They're reckless. Do you want a guy who's sober?
I'm okay with that. But like, he can also be just a regular social drinker. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't want a guy that's like getting wasted.
My guy's sober.
Oh, cool.
Since he's 19.
Wow.
Yeah. He's Irish.
Yeah.
So he's one of those where it was in his head that his family can't drink. Like, he knew it, and then he saw it happening, and then at 19, he was like, let's get ahead of it and stop, and then he became a comedian.
Is he, like, program sober, or just, like, he quit?
He was deep in the program, all that stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's been so long that now...
Yeah, of course.
He's evolved out of it.
That means he's self-aware, he's self-introspective, he's spiritual, he's... Because the program gives you all of that.
Oh, yeah. Know? The program also, like, when I have my own mental stuff, he has really good advice of, like, just battling your own mind. Everyone's battling their own mind in different ways and using different soothing mechanisms. Mm-hmm. And where he maybe turned to drinking, I'm turning to like obsessive loop thoughts or something.
Oh my God, I know those too.
Yeah. Actually, I saw you talk about
intrusive thoughts
in your book.
Yeah.
What's it like?
Oh my God.
For you?
It's like hell. I mean, it's literally hell. Like, it's when my anxiety is peaking and I'm like, there's a knife there. I could stab myself with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, kill my dogs. Like, like something terrible. You think, and then you're like, why am I thinking that? Get out of my head. I'm not like that. Mm-hmm. Ah, you know, and it's like, not like you're actually going to do it and you're not actually homicidal, like, or suicidal, but it just, like, just these thoughts come in and you can't stop them.
Yes.
And, like, thank God I'm on Wellbutrin. I'm on Prestige. I'm on some other shit. Like, you know.
You have the cocktail.
I have the cocktail that's helping.
I'm pulling up another quote from your book that I really liked. This is all from the intro in the beginning, but you basically said it felt like a struggle for you to exist, which I can relate to. You were a prisoner to substances until you got sober.
Yeah.
And to ease your pain. But then when you were sober, you had to face the reality of what your brain was doing. And
fucked up.
You said you've done everything, meditation, 12-step meetings, juice cleanses, vegan diets, yogurt, exercise, churches, gurus, witches, and the finest doctors in Manhattan.
Yeah. And the Hare Krishnas.
Oh my God, the Hare Krishnas.
I don't know why that was. I forgot to put that in there, but they actually really worked. That was great.
What did they do?
Oh my God, I had a monk who I was seeing regularly.
You're fucking?
No. He's so amazing. I actually need to reach out to him. He's now not a monk anymore. He got married. His guru told him you can still do amazing work and be married and whatever. But his name's Rasanath Das. You can Google him. And he did an amazing TED talk about meditation and the Bhagavad Gita. And he was actually working in finance and living in a monastery at the same time.
I'm obsessed with him. Get you a man who could do both.
Dope. He's so dope. And then he was like, I have to leave this finance world. This isn't me. I need to go to my spiritual calling. I somehow connected with him and found him. And then he put me onto the Enneagram. Have you done the Enneagram?
I haven't done it.
Oh, it's so cool.
I've done it, but I forgot.
I know what number personality you are. I'm an 8. And not many women are 8, by the way. But anyway, I was going there for years.
What does an 8 mean?
An 8 is the challenger.
Ooh.
Yeah. The 8 is the challenger. And I have a 7 wing. The 7 wing is more like the playful one.
I feel like as an intelligent person, you said earlier, like, you're more unhappy sometimes because I think like you have the capability of overanalyzing everything to the point that you're frozen and you scare yourself and you're like, wait, I've just been sitting on my couch for 30 minutes and I've gone through like 4 panic attacks for no reason.
Oh my God, yeah, it's bad.
But when it comes to self-help, like I remember when I'm depressed, I'll order like 10 self-help books on Amazon and not read any of them.
Oh my God, I have so many too. I have so many.
And I'm like, this is hard. So when you're trying to get better, how much is like too much to like try to fix it?
Yeah, because then you're going to, it's sometimes good to get out of your head, right? And that means like movement and exercise, right? So like today I woke up. Instead of sitting on my phone, I'm like, I need to go take a walk. Mm-hmm. So I take a walk, you know, and I make some phone calls and I call some people that like are cool and I love them and whatever. Like that starts my day off good, you know. But when I was like really struggling in like January, February, and even like March, to be honest, I had to, right, like go on new medication and stuff like that. But like I think I read this amazing book also called The Anatomy of Anxiety that I always promote because it's so good. And just like your circadian, she talks about your circadian clock and getting like natural light into your eyes, like in the early morning and like not looking at screens like for an hour or two before bed, and shamanic shaking, which ends the stress cycle. So like, like it's a shaking thing. It's cool.
Also,
it's crazy, but it's cool.
It's like we forget that we're plants. Like we just need water, which I forget. I haven't drank water since 2005 and I wonder why I'm a bitch. light.
Yeah.
Like movement. And I think it's so easy to get in your own head. Has the attention and the fame made you happier or sadder?
No. I can't say it's made me happier or sadder. It's just a part of my life now.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good.
You're so right. I feel the same way. Like there are moments that you're like, oh, that was really sweet of that person, but you're not like walking around being like oh my, I'm a different human than I was a couple years ago.
I think like that obviously happens to people. And when you start like seeking that and that feels like a drug, I think you're going down a very dangerous path. And
the ego.
Think about a few people.
Well, I read that Andy warned you when you first started being like, don't let it get to your head.
Yes.
And I know from my show where things started to unravel is when it becomes not about friendships and it becomes about egos and you're fighting about production stuff and you're not fighting about actual friend stuff. And I've seen it in other shows too. And because it becomes like you're not people, you're just all like looking at followings and looking at, you know, who's popular.
Who's getting more followers or whatever. Instagram getting more likes. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But looking forward, what are we manifesting? What do we want?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but I just posted something, about having my first little film role. It's nothing crazy, but like I did it.
It looks
already.
Like a cool project. You did it already?
I did it. Yeah. It was amazing.
Also, you're with WME.
I'm with WME,
I'm with WME too.
Oh, are you? Oh,
WME God, sisters.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
I am very excited to see where.
Is that a new thing for you?
I've been with them for like 2.5 years for comedy, but I'm kind of like expanding a little, which is exciting.
They're great.
They're great.
They're so good. Shout out to Bradley.
What was it? Did you want to do acting or did it fall in your lap?
It honestly kind of fell in my lap. But also when I was younger, I was in like an off-Broadway play and I was in this acting group called City Kids mm-hmm. in Tribeca, and mm-hmm. Donald Faison was there when I was there. So I was like very into it. And then of course I started doing a lot of drugs. But you know, Roni's obviously had this long break. I'm like, what can I do for myself? I'm like, I'm gonna take some acting classes because that sounds so scary.
Hell yeah.
So I was taking classes and then I met the director and we linked up and we were working on another project. And then this project came into her lap and she was like, I'm putting you in it, you know? So it was great. I thought I was going to be so nervous. I just felt so comfortable, probably just because like Nicole Payone's just such an amazing director and like made me feel really comfortable. But it was a great experience. And I don't know, I just go where the universe pushes me to. And this is what I was actually thinking about this on the way here. I've never done anything for money.
Yeah.
Ever. I have never been like, this is going to make me money. That's why I have to do it.
Yeah.
I've been like, I'm starting the brand I started out of nowhere and never thought I was going to make that any money from it. And obviously was able to support myself for a very long time doing it. Roni, I didn't do for money. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a fucking insane opportunity. Mm-hmm. How many people get to do this? I'm saying yes. And now I'm having fun with the acting thing. And it's about challenging myself. It's about devouring whatever life gives me. I don't know if I'm going to die tomorrow. Like, I don't fucking know. Who the fuck knows? People get sick. People get fucking shot, hit by car. I mean, whatever. I'm getting dark right now. But that's how I look at my life. I'm literally like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll do it all.
And you keep leaning towards what, like, brings you excitement, what brings you joy. Yeah. That's why I talk here a lot about I'm anti, like, five-year plans. I think they're so restrictive.
Yeah.
And that's also not how your mind works. Like, Never. You ever started a day and been like, this is exactly how it's going to go.
No.
You got to just, like, flow.
Yeah.
Also, what was your drug of choice?
So, I mean, definitely alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved alcohol probably more than anything. Mm-hmm. But I was a raver when I was a teenager.
Oh, my God.
You know? So I was doing ecstasy. I was doing Special
Rooftops
K.
in Brooklyn.
I was doing, warehouses, all that stuff. I was doing speed. I was mixing it all. I was doing everything. I was doing acid. I just posted a story about some guy dosed me with acid and like, I had people get mad at me. Like, I'm like, okay. They're like, that's traumatic. I'm like, it wasn't traumatic for me. I've had traumatic things happen. Don't tell me what my story is for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's my story.
Also, you're allowed to speak about traumatic events too.
Exactly. Yeah. But also it's like, you should not be laughing about this. It's like, no, it's my fucking situation. I can laugh about whatever the fuck I want.
People need to laugh about more shit in life. That's
they
for sure.
They really do. They really, really do.
What is it like being in rehab facilities?
You know, it's like, I guess it depends if you want to be there or not. Mm. You know, just same thing with like,
you can make
hospital.
What you want out
like,
of it.
Yeah, like I put myself in the mental hospital. So it's a lot different than like being forced into one and not being able to leave and being involuntarily put in one. And also, it's about what you get out of it. I mean, you end up being like, I don't even want to leave rehab right now, because when you're in your addiction and like in my teenage years when I was in rehabs, life was so much easier and better for me in rehab, because it's like, I wake up, I eat my meal, I go to therapy, I know I'm going to bed at night. Like, I loved the routine and I loved not being on drugs. I loved being able to like not be addicted, you know, but it was really hard when I would get out to stay clean.
Yeah.
So in January, when I checked myself into Silver Hill, luckily they took my insurance. And, you know, I was like, if it's good enough for Mariah
and
Truman Capote.
Yeah, instead of going on some, like, bullshit culty wellness retreat, like...
Like, I want to go to the legit place.
I want the hardcore shit.
Yeah, I want
the
legit place with, like, doctors and, like, fucking nurses and the meds and take my... vitals and, you know, therapy. I mean, look, when you're there's not a lot of therapy at mental hospitals. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's kind of like more like,
because they want to get you back to like
you're stable, you know. But obviously it's like a last resort, mm-hmm. because you have to be really suffering, obviously, to be like, okay, nothing else is working, I need to go.
What are your kind of signs that you know you need to check yourself in?
Well, you know, I've only done it twice, mm-hmm. and I hope I don't have to do it again. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But
it's not fun.
It's not, you know, and I hope I never go through what I went through this past January ever again. But I think, like, well, I was having panic attacks that for weeks on end that wouldn't stop. Mm-hmm. And even like sedatives and things that the doctor were giving me wasn't working. And like I couldn't eat and I was despondent and I wasn't myself. I was completely, and this is what happened. I went off my Lexapro. Mm. And then I tried going back on it when shit hit the fan and it wouldn't work because that sometimes happens.
Yeah.
So I just needed like a reset, you know, and just to get off my phone. No, I needed to process what's gone on in the last 2 years, which is a pandemic, me going from no one knowing who I am to everyone knowing who I am, from people, everyone loving me to everyone hating me, to my grandmother dying, to that being on the show, to being feeling exploited by it. Not like there was so much shit that I didn't, and I was like avoiding it all. I was like, I'll get plastic surgery. I'll do this. I'll do that. I couldn't deal with my feelings. And so finally it all hit me. And I think that's what happens when I wasn't in therapy and I wasn't taking care of myself.
You want to be off meds?
So I just didn't feel like they were doing anything anymore. Mm. And I shouldn't have, it was probably, look, I mean, I have bipolar 2, supposedly, like, who knows? I don't know. I'm never going off my meds again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going off them again.
Yeah.
Thank God for them.
And remember that, like, in 3 years.
I need to tattoo that shit on me. No, I'm telling you, like, some people need God to just, like, fucking drop a fucking pile of bricks on their head to, like, mm-hmm. wake up. Like, mm-hmm. that's how I feel I am. And he kicked my ass. God kicked my ass in January to be like, Leah, you better stop doing dumb shit.
That's what the universe does to me. And that's why I guess they call me Hurricane Hannah, because I don't get out of situations quietly. I don't go into situations quietly. Like, the universe tells me when shit is great for me. And when the universe is like, you're done with this, mm-hmm. it makes sure that I never ever put myself
Would
in those
you
situations.
Do reality TV again?
With like
more control.
With a certain kind of situation.
Yeah.
I was in an unfortunate place and an unfortunate like time too, because mine was a COVID season where they locked us in a house for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I also think people in general, they're like added, like they you know, we had dealt with like, you know, so much polarization and mm-hmm. death from COVID and politics, and people were just visceral and volatile.
People were crazy, and it was also like during BLM and during like a high cancellation time, and people were in a very like black and white place with people. Like you're either an angel or you're the devil.
It. Yeah, and there's no in between.
And there's no in between. How do you deal with like people who none of them know you, but they loved you, they hate you. How do you deal with that right now? If God forbid, like let's say you never go on reality TV again, and that's how you left it.
I mean, the people that I care about thought I had a great season. And that's Andy Cohen.
Yep.
That's Nicole Payone, who just put me in her movie.
Yep.
That's Rihanna. And my family.
And those are the only people that matter.
It's like the bosses that write the checks. You know what I mean? Yep. Like a friend who fucking gave me a huge opportunity, and my family. Like what? And Rihanna. Like what more do I need? Like the rest of the people? Come on. I can't give a fuck. Like I cannot give a fuck.
No.
Like.
And that person. And who knows? Yeah. It's. There's nothing you could do. You can't control the external shit. But like your energy and your. Like your book, everyone needs to buy it, because I feel like it's so just really self-aware and vulnerable and fucking powerful.
It was a reflective thing. I actually think writing it is part of what spun me into, because I had to talk about so much shit that I haven't thought about in so long, you know?
Yeah. Okay. You're killing it right now. We're going to go a little deeper into hell.
Let's go.
And we're going to play the 7 Deadly Sins.
Ooh.
7 Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
Definitely I'm greedy about things. I'm just trying to think what I'm most. I definitely like feel like I like to get my way.
Mm.
Like I'm greedy about getting my way.
Mm-hmm.
Getting what I want.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. But that also makes you like a good business person.
That's true. I mean, you're looking at the bright side of it.
But, yeah, I'm trying to be positive.
Yeah, I definitely am greedy about getting my way. And I need to like practice like letting go of things sometimes and like seeing what the outcome is. I try to control. I'm greedy about control and controlling the outcome
of
things.
Yes. Who are you envious of?
I'm definitely an envious person. Mm. I've realized that recently, and it's sad. I'm working on it. But, you know, I'm envious of like people with like $20 million like homes in the Hamptons and like also the apartment in the city and also the place. Yeah, I'm definitely envious of people who like have tons of money for sure.
But then deep down, you don't really care about money.
It's not that I don't care about money. It's that I don't care about it enough to do something solely based on that.
True.
Does that make sense?
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm not meaning to sound hypocritical because I do care about money for sure. But I'm just not like, it's not the point of doing anything.
Or else it's not the driving force.
It's not. Or else I would just end up, I would have worked on Wall Street or something.
Exactly. But you would have been fucking miserable.
Psycho.
What do you?
More psycho.
More psycho.
Yeah, more psycho.
What are you gluttonous about? Like, what do you overindulge in?
My, just like probably my mental health and like my, like, I don't know. I spend a lot of time on like beauty stuff. I don't know, getting my hair done. I don't know. That
you look amazing, by the way.
Thank you, babe.
You know, some people you meet in person and you're like, oh, I didn't see that for you. Like, well, you just like on Instagram, you're like, oh, the Paris filter is strong with you.
Yeah.
But no, right, you are the like Paris glowing filter. Naturally.
Well, you talk so much about, and like, I love that. I always.
Oh, yeah, we do.
That's how
we know each other.
That's how we originally bonded over like Instagram, like not filtering stuff, right? Or what?
A Clubhouse. Do you remember Clubhouse?
Oh my God, we did a Clubhouse together.
IG famous Dana was talking about plastic surgery and stuff. And it's funny because I feel like we have different experiences. Like I haven't done plastic surgery yet in my life.
Yeah.
And you have.
Yeah.
But we both had kind of a similar perspective on it. My thing was like, if you're gonna do something, look deeper, like what's the why,
right?
And know that like it's not gonna fix anything.
Yeah. Oh no.
And make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Yep. And also I was like, be very open about it, like tag the doctor, like,
right?
And I feel like you've
except
been,
except if I tag the doctor, he should be doing it for free. And I've had to pay for all my plastic surgery and it was all very expensive. I'm just saying.
But I do have to say, sometimes it's like I'd rather pay good stuff for that than feel like I got a discount.
I think I have the best nose job I've ever seen.
It's
straight up,
it doesn't look like a nose job at all.
Isn't it great? My daughter doesn't understand it. She's like, why didn't you make it smaller? I'm like, here, then I would have looked fake. What are you talking about?
Ooh, what did you tell the doctor when you were getting your nose job?
I mean, he kind of, first of all, the photo I showed him was a photo of Sharon Tate. Is that her name?
I think, yes. Gorgeous, gorgeous. The one who got murdered.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, dark.
I'm like, this is a great one. He's like, Leah, you know, I can't like give you a nose of someone else. Like, I'm just going to do what I can with yours. But he was like, I'm not touching your nostrils. Because it's gonna look too fake.
True.
Yeah, because a lot of women get them, you know,
true,
and get them sewed up, and that can look fake.
Why'd you want the nose job?
I did not like my nose. I actually think that like everyone looks better with a nose job, and I was sick of looking at my nose. They do. Like, no one has a fucking perfect ass nose. Like no one does.
I thought you were about to say I'm sick of looking at these people without nose jobs all day.
No, I mean I don't mean it like that, but it's like my nose was always something. Even when I was in my early 20s, I was like, I want my fucking nose done. And my parents were like, you don't make money on your image, so who cares? And I'm like, well, now I'm on TV, so I'm sick of looking at my fucking nose, and I want it fixed.
So this is not like you saw a weird angle of yourself on reality TV. This is like a thing that you've been thinking about for a long time.
Yes, but also I had to see myself so much more
through the angles. Sometimes I'm like,
I
was like, is that video guy mad at me or something?
But I have to consciously, when I look at Instagram, when I look at the Kardashians, and when I look at everyone else on Instagram or wherever, I'm like, that's not normal. Leah, stop looking at your hip dips and don't even think about it, girl. And da da da. Because at this point, I'm like, I've done enough. Like where I'm like, I don't want to do more for a while, like until I get my like neck lift or whatever. But did you see Teddy Mellencamp's? It looks great.
How do you know when you've gone too far?
I think it's when
you can't make an expression. You can't tell if you're laughing or crying.
Yeah, I don't want to ever look like that, even though my mom says I kind of do look like that. But my daughter
moms
said not.
So brutally honest.
Yeah, she is. But Kier also told me, like, don't do anything more. I did my eyes not that long ago. I did an upper bleph. But, like, I knew it wasn't going to make me. I noticed that it was my face was changing, and I just wanted to look how it did, like, 5 years ago, you know? But that's a very easy surgery. I'm like, that's nothing.
Your work does look very natural on you. Like, you look like you. I just hate when everyone starts looking like the same girl.
I mean, yeah.
And then it's like, no, everyone's just tryhards to look like a brat doll.
As much as I love plastic surgery, I'm happy I've done it. I also can't at the same time can't stand like how obsessed we are with it and with image and with everything, because mm-hmm. it's cool to look cute, it's cool to do all that, but you have to do also the rest of the shit.
Well, yeah, like, and at what point do you look at yourself in the mirror and instead of being like, that's me, let's move on with the day, you're like, oh, what
right.
if I,
and,
what
and,
if I?
And that's how I was started to be. I started being like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to live like that.
Yeah. And also as someone who's so, you know, into like your mental health and stuff, like when I leave this with you, or like when a guy leaves a date with you, they remember how you made them feel. Hmm. Like they don't remember the little details in your face exactly. and shit. How does it feel to be aging in the public eye?
I mean, definitely, like, so I was looking at a video of myself. I did the podcast with the Stallone sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Who were, like, very young. And I can't stop looking at my neck. And now I'm mentioning my neck again. But I've always been, my neck, like, look, I don't have a lot of melanin. My mm-hmm. skin is very thin. It's starting to crinkle a little. But it's also, like, I'm also, like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. Like, just fuck it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I will do my neck lift at some point. But, you know, I don't know. I go back and forth. Like, you know, it's...
Because, yeah, is self-love accepting who you are right now? Or is self-love being like, I'm going to change whatever I want within me?
It's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both. I think it depends. Like, I think we can also be both ways. Because, like, I also talk about in the book how we all have two different opinions living inside of us. We're all hypocrites. We all change our minds. Yep. Like, we do that, you know? But I really, truly believe that the Kardashians have fucked us all up. And also, oh. It's not real. I also was looking at an article from the Daily Mail, and it's like, look at their photos not edited from this trip to Italy versus the edited ones. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I don't feel bad about it.
They're fembots. And also the fact that they'll sit there and like blatantly deny the work they've had done is actually what's fucked up.
That's the fucked up part.
I mean, like, and Kendall Jenner's the natural one and she's had a full face done.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be like hating on them because I actually have so much respect for them.
No, me too.
But for girls like here, seeing that and being like, why don't I look like that? And feeling like shit when it's like, that's not a normal human. And also, the edited pics, like Kim doesn't have belly buttons on half her photos. Like
I know.
Her waist and her butt.
I had one magazine, like I'm not going to say who, like so photoshopped my face that I felt uncomfortable posting it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, like, it was like this big, like, fake smile of mine, like, that I don't have. Like, I actually, like, the teeth looked great. I wish my teeth actually looked like that. But I've posted it anyway. And people were like, you fucking, like, look what you did to your face. And why'd you do that? I'm like, I didn't do what they did. Leave me alone. I still wanted to post it. I look cute. I like the photo. Like,
it is true, though. Girls are growing up
now.
But
I see how it would be addictive to start when you start face tuning yourself and to look a certain way. It's like, hey, why not? The most fucked up thing is that's the photo that's going to get the most likes.
It's fucked up because it's like, it's aspirational because it's not real.
Yeah.
And I always say I try not to edit my photos because I don't hate myself in real life. Mm. It's like if you don't have your nails done for a while, you start to just like how your nails look.
I've never had not have my nails.
You're like, don't bring that up.
I just or like never
you're,
not have
if
my
you're like
done.
Not wearing makeup for a week.
Yeah. Oh, I.
And you start to like love, like right now you have barely any makeup on and you look stunning.
No, I do. I have a lot of makeup on. I look like shit without makeup. Trust me. I have a bunch of makeup on.
How do you think being on reality TV has changed your confidence in your physical self?
Well, I don't know, because I feel like
you've kind of become like a fashion icon. Your confessional looks, are you fucking kidding
me? Thank you. You either love them or you hate them, but you are talking about
them. You are talking about them. That's so, what's important.
I actually keep looking at myself up there. So maybe I am self-obsessed. Are you noticing that? You're like, Leah, stop looking at yourself. I'm going to look over
you
here.
You honestly
instead.
Look great. The blue with your blue eyes. I'm just like your hype girl now. I'm like, yes, work it.
I think I've always been hard on myself about how I look. And like, I've always been judging myself. And I'm my own worst critic for sure about everything I do. Like, not just like my looks, but like everything. Like, you should be doing this more. You should be doing that more. So I don't think being on reality TV has changed it. I think I've always been like a pain in my ass for myself.
Same.
Yeah.
When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger?
Like how extreme?
You're like 1 to 10. Anything.
Like breaking shit?
It could be something that just bothered you, pissed you off.
Bothered me or pissed me off? That was like
5 minutes ago.
No, 2 days ago. Like 2 days ago, like I was talking about somebody and like called them a cunt and a bitch. And yeah, like, fuck her.
The C word needs to be used more often.
It really does.
Normalize it in America.
I use it in front of my daughter all the time.
Yeah.
I'm normalizing it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Normalize cunt.
I'm normalizing cunt in front of my kids.
Are you a confrontational person?
There's a lot of things I let go. There's a lot of things I let go. If I didn't, I'd be in Page Six all the time doing a tit for tat with my co-stars, with whoever else. I don't go down that road. I don't do it. I don't like it. I'm better than that. I have too much respect for myself, and I'm cooler than that. I'm just cooler than that.
Yeah. You elevate this shit. How do you choose when to respond to when someone says something?
Most of the time, I don't respond. Unless we're filming, obviously, mm-hmm. then I'm responding. But if we're not and I'm not getting a check for it, why the fuck am I going to do that?
You're so right.
Like, I don't need to be a headline all the time about some negative bullshit. And then I'm keeping this bitch in the fucking press, too. Fuck that.
Hell yeah.
I learned that season one because I was clapping back so much and then being like, oh, I don't like that. I actually don't. It gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
When like, I hate it.
It gives me so much anxiety when I see I had headline. To turn off my alerts because I can't. And then you read, and whenever they pull a quote from you, you always sound like I always sounded like not myself.
Well, most recently, it's always out of context. I have not had Google alerts on for a very long time, obviously after last season. And most recently, I don't even know that someone had to be like, oh, everyone picked up what you said. I'm like, they did. And I'm like, oh, wow, People Magazine put that up, and that's not even what I said.
No.
What? I don't even need to pay attention.
A lot of it is out of context, like a response to something.
It's out of context.
But you get the clicks, girl. When's the last time you were a sloth? So like lazy piece of shit, let yourself rest.
But I feel like sloth and letting yourself rest are very different.
They are.
I have a very hard time doing that though.
Do you work out every day?
I try to work out like 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to start doing it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did gain 15 pounds in the last year.
You look amazing.
Thank you. I mean, I'm not saying like I want to lose it, but I want to like I want to tone up. I want to get strong.
Yeah.
And I also think strong body, strong mind.
Yes. I love boxing. I was a tennis player, so boxing is very similar where it's like you're hitting one person, another person. I love individual sports like that where you're just like battling yourself.
Yep.
And that shit got me pumped up. I still play tennis.
Yeah, I love tennis.
If Kira ever wants a lesson,
I could give you a lesson too with that. We can hit. I would love that.
You know, we can go to the Hamps with Luann and do a little.
Yes.
We
can go to Ramona's. Ramona would let us go to her tennis court. We're on good terms.
Oh my God.
Be like, Ramona.
Oh my God. We'll have a whole tennis tournament with the Housewives.
A whole fucking tennis tournament.
Oh my God. That would be so funny. It would definitely end in drama. When was the last time you let your pride or your ego get in the way of something? How's your ego?
I've been keeping it in check a lot. Like, I have to say, like, I am. I'm thinking. I think I have moments where I'm like in my ego like so much and I'm like, ah! And then I'm like, all right, chill out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Talking about it.
Yeah.
So I do go like I'm constantly kind of like keeping it in check, but it gets in the way often.
Yeah, I think for me, the hardest thing with reality TV was like seeing people deliberately like try to hurt you or like try to destroy you.
Yeah.
And
are you talking about castmates or people like?
Yes, both.
Okay.
And like just coming to terms with like you just have to exist with like people out there like that.
I know. And you can't like if I clap back at every single person, like I'd be exhausted and I'd be living in like such a shitty world.
Well, yeah. Like if I say anything, then you're just in the mud again with them.
Exactly. But also, and I have my PR people to thank for this because they very often, I'm like, okay, guys, I can't keep my mouth shut anymore.
And they
like,
go,
Leah,
shut.
You're going to keep your fucking mouth shut.
I didn't realize when you pay for PR, they just tell you not to do anything.
They're
mufflers.
They're so good with that. Like, because I often am like, what am I doing about this?
Well, I think you're very, not doing anything. Very rarely people can say something to like change people's minds about a situation. And it's more like just letting something pass, especially when it's like false or really harmful towards you.
Exactly.
Ooh, but yeah, I did like, I feel like you don't mean it. You're just very entertaining. So you'll do little things that don't mean to be like a clapback. And then it gets picked up and people are like, Leah.
I know.
Did an Insta story.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. The Insta stories. I had to chill with that because I didn't realize every time you do an Insta story, doing a clapback, it ends up in page 6. And I don't want that. Yep. I just want it on my Instagram story.
Yep.
So I stopped.
Okay. When was the last time you lusted over someone? Like, do you have a celebrity crush?
This is a hard one because I've honestly been asexual for a while. It really is. I think I was really lusting after like Lior Cohen years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore though. And he has a baby and he's married now. He's definitely like a daddy though.
Daddy.
Sure. Majorly. I'm honestly not a lustful person. It's been years. I've gone through like a super fucking major sexual. I've gone through many years where I was just lustful nonstop.
Yeah.
And now I've just kind of evolved.
Do you feel, how do you feel as like a woman not having sex all the time?
I feel great.
It feels good.
It really does. Because it's such an energy exchange.
Yes. People don't talk about the amount of energy that's exchanged.
At least for me, you know, like I just can't. I'm actually kind of grossed out. Like thinking Same. About someone spit in my mouth right now is making me like disgusted. I haven't. So I'm just going through something right now.
Also, I just feel like guys.
And like COVID and monkeypox. Like, and monkeypox, they said, is being.
Don't even tell me. I don't even want to know.
It's a fucking sex thing.
Oh, yeah. So you'll be
fine. I'm like, I'm good.
This is the thing. I feel like men will fuck anything. So like my ego is like, I didn't want men to fuck me all the time. I wanted to make them fall in love with me.
Oh yeah.
So like that was my kink. That's like, or like if we're going to hook up, I want to because you like want me and you've chased me and you like me, but that's me playing games and that's not healthy either. But,
that's true. That is you playing games.
I do. And that's my own like intimacy.
Was your husband chasing you or were you chasing him a little? Was it equal?
My husband was the first time that there was no games. Second date, I kind of knew like I like this guy. We had sex second date, but it was quarantine. It was important.
You loved him.
I needed to know if his dick was nice.
Oh yeah, totally.
I don't have time. No, like
completely.
I'm not waiting to pretend I'm like hard to get.
Yeah.
And then I like posted something that was kind of like kind of make him jealous a little, but I was being naughty early on in the relationship. And he called me and he was like, if you want to play games, that's cool. I'm just like not interested in that.
Whoa, that's hot. You were so turned on.
If a dude calls me being annoying about something, I'm like, cool, go find someone else. I put my tail between my legs and I was like, I'm so sorry. That's not the kind of person I want to be.
What did you post?
I just like posted me with another dude. Like when we were early talking, like, I mean, it was like a hot guy that I was like, whatever is a post, it's casual, whatever. I'm just showing him like, see guys like me, which is my own insecurities.
Yeah.
And he was so just like, I told you how I feel about you and like I wouldn't do that to you. And I was just like, this that's man dope. Meets me. But that's also like 45-year-old daddy.
Yeah.
Who like knows.
Not every 45-year-old is like that.
True.
That trust
And there are
me.
Probably some younger guys who are like that. It's just you want someone who's straightforward and no bullshit because
and knows themselves.
Yes. And I feel like it's the same with friends too. Like you feel like you're chasing them or you don't know if they're like cool with you or if they're jealous of you or if they want bad things for you.
It comes down to insecurity. It's very hard to be friends with people who are insecure.
Yep.
It's very hard to date people who are insecure.
Yep.
Look, we're all insecure to a point, but when someone is extra insecure and you're someone who has had some success or knows who you are and all that, it's fucking hard.
Also, I think when you're with the right people, they give you that little bit of like security too that can calm you down and make them feel like home.
Exactly.
Okay, last question. You're crushing it in hell. I love talking to you so much.
I love talking to you.
Your energy is so fucking good. What's your sign?
Well, I was going to ask you. I'm a Virgo.
Ooh, okay. I'm a Leo.
Okay.
But I'm a Virgo moon, Scorpio rising.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm a Libra rising, Sag moon.
Okay. Libra and Sag I get along with so well.
Yeah, I do too. And Scorpios I get along with. And what's your other one?
Scorpio.
Scorpio and what?
Virgo.
Oh, Virgo, duh.
Duh. And Paige, my best friend, is a Scorpio, and so is Des, my husband.
Oh, that's cool.
We love a Scorpio moment.
I love that.
Okay, sorry, that was a quick horoscope segment. To wrap this up, what advice would you give to people, my little devils, who are going through hell on how to cope with your hell when you're in the darkness?
Okay, well, I'm going to now shout out this organization that I just teamed up with, NAMI.
Yes, I love them.
Because they offer free mental health services, but that's for people in New York City. Mm-hmm. But I think I truly believe in science and doctors and medicine. And
some witchcraft.
And a little, obviously. But you need some witchcraft, too. But I would say that, like, this too shall pass. I know that sounds, when you're in depression, it's so hard to think that. And in January, I was like, I'm going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
I think also prayer, like, not to sound crazy, but prayer and acceptance is, like, such a game changer. Like, I swear to God, there were days where I would, like, wake up with, like, my heart racing, like, 120 beats per minute. And I'm, like, having the worst anxiety. And I said, God, if this is how I need to feel today to learn a lesson that I'm supposed to learn, then it's okay. I'm just accepting how I feel. And then the next day it would be gone.
Mm.
That's kind of witchcraft.
Well, yeah, you're getting out of your own body for a second, realize there's bigger things than you.
Yeah.
And that you're going to be okay.
So I hope that was okay advice. It's a little bit of science, a little bit of witchcraft / God.
It's a cocktail that you figure out that works for you.
Exactly.
Leah, where can people get your book? Where can people follow you? Where can people watch you? Give me all the tea.
Okay. You can follow me on Instagram @ Leah Mobb. I'm not on Twitter. You can buy my book anywhere books are sold.
You're on TikTok.
I am on TikTok. I think it's The Real Leah McSweeney. I can't remember.
Wait, your WAP dance that you did with Tinsley back in the day? We copied on Summer House. Me, Amanda, and Paige did the dance.
I love that.
Because we were like, wait, they look hot.
We were like busting it open. Did you see how fucking
I couldn't even tell the difference between you two.
Yeah.
And then we were locked in the house filming. So Paige and I would go in the kitchen and do it. And then everyone would get mad because we were making so much noise on the kitchen floor and our knees were like busted up because you have to drop.
I honestly couldn't walk for like a week after. I was in so much fucking
pain.
But
we were like, if they did it, we need to try to do it.
Oh my God, I love that.
Anyway, continue.
That was a viral moment for me and Tinsley.
Iconic.
And my book is anywhere that books are sold. And right now I'm not on TV. So you just have to follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, figure it out. Thank you guys so much for going to hell. Thank you, Leah, for coming.
For
and we'll talk to you later.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.